Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM Sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
Lumos. Hello, friends. Welcome back to Shell Cottage Radio. I'm your host and secret keeper, Ezra, aka Bill. Also known as Sir Ezra the Watchful, History of Magic Professor, the Flannel Wizard, obviously. Yours truly, me. Please welcome your lovely design witch, the fascination of fourth year, the fascination of this year, Triwizard Champion herself, my wonderful co-host and yours, Lottie, aka Fleur.
Hello and einen wunderschönen guten Tag. It's so good to have you back in our beautiful little cottage on the outskirts of Tinworth. Kommt rein und macht's euch gemütlich. Welcome to episode 91, in which we discuss Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire. This week we'll talk about chapter 12. The Triwizard Tournament. The Triwizard Tournament, it's hard to say. We'll give you a quick life update with our homemade cottage ketchup, feed our brains with important trivia knowledge, and then dive head on into our chummery scepter.
Give me that chummery, baby.
Audio experience. And before we dive into that, happy Father's Day. This comes out after Father's Day, I think the Wednesday after, but still, cheers to all the dads and papas out there.
And all father figures.
Right, exactly.
Did I just kiss the mic? There you go, fathers. There you go, dad. Shamey.
I think it's only in the U.S., so it's not International Father's Day. I'm not sure, because it's definitely not Father's Day in Germany. That's all I know. Sorry.
Lottie's like, I didn't tell my dad Happy Father's Day. No. So she's like, that's funny.
But yeah,
that's confusing. Let's make these things international, okay?
I know. Be nice. I think Mother's Day is.
I think you're right. Yeah. Okay. Diving into some cottage ketchup, friends.
We actually celebrated Father's Day yesterday a little bit because Ruby, your new niece, was just born in February. And so that makes Dan a new dad. And also your dad came back from Kentucky. So we had some good food together, played some cornhole, which... Normally, when I play a game, we used to play games with my opa all the time in the backyard. But you have a little bit of a warm-up phase where you can throw or kick the ball or, you know, for a couple of times before you really actually play.
Right.
We loved playing ping pong or table tennis with my opa. And, you know, you do a little bit, like 5 minutes of a warm-up where you get used to everything again. But Dan and your sister, I mean, jumped right in. First throw was 4 points. There's no time. See, that's the difference. We're not parents yet. So we're like, okay, let's warm up a little bit and start the game. Nope.
No, it is go time. The baby is with someone else right now and is spitting up
we
over
gotta start
everyone
playing.
Else. Let's go, okay?
yeah. No, so. That was so fun. It was a great day yesterday.
Yeah, it was fun. It was great. We had fajitas. We had a little.
They were so good.
Yeah, my sister kind of cooked up some stuff or whatever. It was good. It was yummy times.
I have some other stuff I wanted to share in cottage ketchup this week. I forgot what's all in here. I was thinking about, you know, some fun facts, weird stuff, things we don't really know. Why would we? That we could share here and there in cottage ketchup. And since this chapter is introducing the Triwizard Tournament to us, I looked up the top 10. This is Watch Mojo is our source this week. Top 10 weirdest competitions you didn't know existed.
Okay.
We're not going to talk about all 10 of them, but I just want to mention some of them. One is a wife carrying competition.
Okay.
It was invented in Finland, and apparently it comes from a tradition where a thief would steal wives from a village.
What?
So it's a little bit of darker history there. But now the modern wife carrying is a wacky and consensual activity for male and female two-person teams who, by the way, don't actually need to be married, with the female partner holding on to the male partner's back in various positions. The team navigates a complex obstacle course. It looks odd and genuinely challenging. So it's basically a team obstacle course thing where you have to carry the other person.
Dang. What are they training for?
Okay, get this. Have you ever heard of toe wrestling?
Toe wrestling?
Yep.
That just sent chills all over my body. That's so crazy.
I think it's from the UK. They invented, a couple of friends invented toe wrestling over a few pints one day. So what does it entail? Well, combining elements of arm wrestling and thumb wrestling. Yeah, we have thumb wrestled before.
Right,
applying
right.
them to feet. Toe wrestling sees two contestants lock toes in an attempt to pin the other's foot. The competition takes place in the small village of Fenny Bentley every year. And it would seem the plan worked, as Brits typically dominate the sport.
What in the world? That is so crazy.
Those are just two. Okay, there's a couple more. I'm just going to read their names, not every single description. There's shin kicking championships.
That's terrible.
I know, that hurts. Extreme ironing world championships.
That sounds kind of cool.
Extreme
so like
ironing.
Like clothes and stuff, right? They're like, how fast can you iron something maybe? Or they have like, how many shirts can you...
When practicing extreme ironing outside of the competition, it's simply about finding the most challenging setting in which to get the job done and seeing how well you can iron. In the context of the World Championship, however, contestants are made to iron in a variety of extreme settings, often on alternative surfaces, and are judged on both the quality of the iron garment and the creativity of their techniques.
Wow, that is crazy. You know, speaking of like Father's Day, can I say something sad one
yeah.
time? So, well, kind of sad, kind of whatever. Like we're getting ready for church, and I see, I don't know, you know, everybody's running around. Like, my dad's been working double shifts. He works midnight, etc. I'm sitting there on the couch, and, you know, dad's got his shirt and he puts it on the ironing board, and he starts to just iron it, right? He's pressing the iron on it, and he's moving it around. And he keeps looking at the shirt, and something like, it's just like, and then I noticed, and I probably noticed
Uh-oh.
It. Yeah, he didn't have the iron. He didn't have it plugged in.
Oh.
He didn't have it plugged in. And I'm sitting there watching. I'm like, Dad, you know, I'm this little kid. I'm like, I think you need to plug it in, you know? and he's like, oh, yeah, no. He goes down there and plugs. And I just felt like, oh, Dad's so tired and so out of it that he doesn't even, you know. And I'll never forget that memory. I don't know why. I was sitting there and I felt kind of like sad for my dad. And I was like, well.
That's kind of cute, though. I mean, because you wasted a little bit of time.
I just watched, it's like, why didn't I kind of had this moment where I'm like, why didn't you say something 5 minutes ago? You know, why didn't you say, every minute that I sat there on the couch and I was like, I should say something. And I didn't, you know, and I just kept sitting there and I'm like, oh, man.
You were too polite.
Finally told him, you know. But I only told him because he was struggling with the, you know, the wrinkles weren't coming out. So, anyway.
Aw.
Yeah. Okay.
So, yeah, there you have it. I mean, there's other competitions, but we're not going to read through all of them. Tickling competition would be my worst nightmare.
That would be terrible.
Yeah, that's terrible. Actually one of them. So.
Gotcha. Well, guys, what we're going to do, we're going to have a special Patreon episode where I steal my wife and we do some toe wrestling. So.
And then we're going to tickle each other. Okay.
Yep. So, exclusive content posted for you guys.
Another type of contest, that especially one that we do here on our podcast, is called Trivia Training.
Do you know what year this takes place?
Wait, is that the trivia question?
No.
94.
Yeah, I know it's 94, but I mean,
what do you mean?
Okay.
Are you trying to come up with a trivia question right
No.
then?
No. No.
I have one for you. You are trying to come up with.
Okay, you ready?
Wait.
No, you ask me yours.
Okay. This one is another language question. Which of the three that I'm going to give you, which one is the correct German translation of the Triwizard Tournament?
Oh, okay.
A, das Drei-Zauberer-Turnier. B, das Tri-Magische-Turnier. Or C, das Triple-Schul-Turnier. Actually, you know what might help if you could see those? So I'm going to make them visible in the dark.
Yeah, because your pronunciation just was a little off. if I'm gonna be honest.
You can see it in the dark now. And okay. It's underneath trivia training. So let me read that again.
Yeah.
Which one is the correct German translation of the Triwizard Tournament? Mm-hmm. A, das Drei-Zauberer-Turnier, B, das Tri-Magische-Turnier, or C, das Triple-Schul-Turnier?
Yeah, the answer is easy. It is A.
Das Drei-Zauberer-Turnier.
Yeah. That's correct. Go me. Let's go.
No, I'm sorry.
That is how you spell three.
That's true, but Try. It doesn't say three in Triwizard Tournament either.
What the heck?
Second guess?
No, it's the same. I don't know which one. Tell me.
Es ist das Tri-Magische Turnier.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry.
Yep.
But you're right. Zauberer actually means wizard. They just went with magisch means magical. Das Tri-Magische Turnier.
Dang. The Tri-Magical Tournament?
Yeah.
Come on, guys.
Sorry.
Okay, that's fine. Got it wrong. Okay.
You got a question for me?
Yes. In what year was the Triwizard Tournament created?
Created?
Yeah. And I'll give you a range, approximation. Okay?
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I think, 500 or 700 years ago? If it's 500 years ago, that would be 1494.
Uh-uh.
I'm just thinking out loud.
You guessed.
No, I've said if it was, blah, 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 it would be this. But I didn't give my final answer yet. If it was 700 years ago, it would be 1294?
Yes. And so since you went with five, you got it wrong, okay?
Yeah, I probably got it wrong anyway. So
no, okay. When was the? I'll give you a redemption question here.
Okay.
Wait, just because you start with 500, and you seem like you were doubling down on that. You know, sorry, couldn't tell. So
okay.
I'm the impartial. Except, I'm the impartial judge.
I thought we're on a podcast, and I would think out loud before I give my final answer, so you guys can kind of.
We've never established the rules that say, you know, final answer, right? You've never. I mean, but when was the last time that the Triwizard Tournament took place?
Well, we talked about that earlier.
Yeah.
100 years ago. So. 1894.
Ah, close.
Mm.
1893. Okay. It said over a century ago.
Okay.
I'm still going to give you credit, though. You have the point because I did stop you earlier, and I apologize. You're probably right.
Well,
so.
How about I get half a point, and then we get rid of that 0.5.
Perfect. You can have there half a point. That'd be great. I'll take 0 points. You have half a point. But would like to throw out to our listeners an idea before we move into the rest of our trivia game.
Mm-hmm.
Did you Notice that I said 1893, and I believe Hogwarts Legacy takes place in 1890s. So
yes.
Here I am thinking Portkey Games might come out and do an expansion and give us the expansions, the Triwizard Tournament.
Oh, and we're competing as a champion because they didn't have
bring
the
those
age
other
limit.
Schools.
They didn't have the age limit.
They didn't. Yeah,
and we're already in fifth year.
Already in fifth year.
That would be so.
We'll actually be going
cool.
into sixth year, right?
And they yes.
So
that'd be so cool. Is there already an expansion where we are in sixth year?
Or I don't think so.
Is our character finishing school?
We haven't finished the game
yeah,
yet,
we don't know.
We are still doing the trials. We're still doing the various trials. Let's go ahead and be honest. I am working through the game.
I mean, since we had to fight the big spiders, I was out.
Okay. Well, still.
No, I love watching it. And you're doing such a great job.
I'm doing
job.
The tedious work
yes,
of
you are.
Running us through Hogwarts Legacy. But
I love watching it. I love watching you play.
Good.
So
yeah.
In a way, we're playing together.
Okay, we're playing together. But we haven't finished it yet, and I do know that it takes place in the 1890s, I believe. So what do you guys think? I mean, is it possible that Portkey Games might come out and say, hey, our expansion pack is the Triwizard Tournament.
That's so cool.
Would that not, it's one of the number one selling games,
yeah.
right? It took Game of the Year, or I don't know if it took Game of the Year or not, but it's just, it's awesome. And I mean, it has done well. People really like it. We all like it. We know you like it. It is what it is. Do this. More people will like it. It makes sense in canon.
Yes.
Let's do it.
That'd be freaking cool.
Triwizard Tournament, Hogwarts.
And Legacy. They would have to come up with a different task because I think that the tasks are not always the same. They stay, they don't know what it's going to be, right? So it's not like necessarily we would have to get a dragon egg and then go down the lake.
Oh,
and
yeah,
all that stuff.
It'd be totally something totally different.
Hopefully, something that's a little more audience viewer friendly.
Right, right. It'd be cool. You could have some training sessions leading up to your different tasks or whatever.
Yeah.
And you could, you know, yeah. And maybe, yeah, what's the reason why? What, like, build a story around the reason why we stopped the Triwizard Tournament.
Yeah.
For 100 years, we haven't had it.
Uh-huh.
So what happened in Hogwarts Legacy?
Oh, goodness, yeah.
You know what I mean? In your sixth or seventh year.
Something bad happens.
That's like, can't do it anymore.
So. Wow. Love it. Love that idea.
Okay. On to the rest of the trivia.
Moving on. Here you go. You please roll the die. Dice.
Green.
Is it green again? The Grim is an omen of what?
Death. Ding, 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 ding. Give me those points.
Death is correct. That
all
makes
right.
12.5 for Bill. Please get a card. Take a card.
Any card I want. Okay. Got it.
And I'm going to tell you the color is yellow.
Okay. Who is speculated to be the informant leaking Dumbledore's secrets in Rita Skeeter's book?
Oh, that's a good question.
Oh, bring it on, trivia. This trivia,
that's good.
It goes low and it goes high. It's like, hey, we're easy. Also, we're hard. So what are you going to do about
sometimes
it?
Sometimes we're over hard.
Sometimes we're over
it's
hard.
It's an inside joke.
Concerning.
And it's not what you think.
Wow, let's go ahead and explain the inside jokes. That way,
you go ahead and I'm going
to
think.
You go ahead and think. So every time we go to order eggs at a restaurant, she freaks out. Like, she looks at me, she's like, what do you mean? Like, they don't say on the menu. Like, in Germany, they say, here's what it will be. And I'm like, so I know how she likes her eggs. She likes them over hard. And she likes them well done.
Yep.
You can have them over soft. You can have them over hard. You can have them over whatever. And, the first time she said, so I said, just say, we were going in and I'm like telling her, just go ahead and say over hard. Didn't think about it in the moment, but like, you know how she is in this podcast, she can't hold it together. So she, you know, like, how would you like your eggs, ma'am? Over hard, please. And then she just bust up laughing, and just couldn't hold it together. So I said, okay, well done. We're going to say well done from here on out.
Yeah.
Because Lottie can't hold it together. Okay, back to the trivia.
Sorry.
Who is speculated to be the informant? I'm just trying to read it again.
Oh,
who is speculated to be the informant leaking Dumbledore's secrets in Rita Skeeter's book?
Speculated. Well, wasn't it? What's her name? They go to her house, and she's actually Nagini. She has a copy of the book and then a thank you note from Rita. But why are they saying speculated? Because that's not speculated. It's in the book. But then Dumbledore's secrets.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there was the other guy who also wrote a book about him. What is his name?
Doge.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Elphias Doge or something like that.
Yeah.
Don't know his...
Elphias Doge.
So, he's not the informant. But then... Gosh, what's her name? They go to her house and it's... Hang on. There's no time limit here.
I was going to say, longest episode we ever done. It's going to be 3 hours later. We're like still in trivia. Lottie's still thinking out loud.
Bertha Jorkins. It's the woman here. Isn't it also a B? Come on, Lottie. Brain. Work. What's her name? Bathilda Backshot?
Got it.
Is that?
Bathilda Backshot.
Is that also the answer?
That's the answer. Yes. But was that your final answer, or were you just thinking out loud? Do you know what I mean? Like, see when it's your answer, it's like, oh, is that it? You see what I'm saying?
You could have just let me keep thinking and then give my final answer.
And then, if you would have said something different, you'd be like, I said that!
Yeah, but then it wasn't.
Oh,
no,
you guys here, yeah, come check out the video version and see how upset I am right now.
So do I get a point or not?
You get a point.
Oh, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Bathilda Backshot.
Yes. Did you know, I don't know if this is true or not.
But it's so weird. Why is it, who is the speculated to be? It's not a speculation. They know it's her. That's what threw me off a little bit.
Yeah. Bonus question. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
You can get another point for this.
Another one.
Uh-huh. So the reason it says speculated is... Let me ask you, how did Rita Skeeter acquire the information from Bathilda Backshot? How did she acquire that information?
Well, since...
About Dumbledore's childhood.
Well, since Rita sent her a thank you note with a copy of the book, I'm assuming she didn't just spy on her as a beetle, but she actually interviewed her. But did she sniff around her house?
Yeah, that'd be part of it. Be part of it. I forgot this. Do you want to take a guess? You can take a guess. Is there any ways in which you think she could acquire information from Bathilda Backshot for half a point?
Letters between her and Dumbledore?
Well, maybe, because she did snoop around a little bit and she got some photos and different things. Veritas Serum.
Truth Serum. You think...
It's what it says. It's what she did do.
Oh.
I don't know. I was like...
Goodness. I
don't remember this either. So... It says the book depicted the former headmaster in an extremely negative light, but was mostly based on truth, much to Harry's horror. It with you. I was listening, by the way, because I'm working on that special episode that we're gonna drop for patrons, special episode, and I had to go back to some of our other videos, and specifically today, I went back to that very episode. And I laugh my butt off over here. And it just happens to be that word is in here again. Holy. All right. It was implied that she got some of her information in unethical or illegal ways.
Yeah.
So it's just implied. As much of the book's content was obtained through an interview Rita conducted with Bathilda Backshot, a very elderly historian, where Rita Skeeter used Veritas Serum to gain information about Dumbledore's childhood. So it says, like, as a matter of fact, is the way it kind of seems. But I always thought, you know, we never really knew exactly.
Yeah.
But it is in chapter, one has had to bounce ahead there at some point. It is in chapter 18 of The Deathly Hallows.
Okay.
So, long ways away, but I just thought I'd throw that out there because I kind of totally forgot that.
Well, we have to see. I heard Swish and Flick's already on the last book, so maybe they will be on chapter 18. I mean, they will definitely be on that chapter earlier than we are, but...
Maybe they're going to beat a third guy. I'm not sure. We're racing ahead here. I heard they are breaking their stuff into multiple parts, so...
That's true. So
maybe
we might
catch
up.
Okay. Watch out now.
No, yeah, I'm going to definitely listen in when they're on that chapter and see what they have to say.
Yes.
All right. Are you ready for the summary?
Yes.
You mind if I read it this time?
No.
Chapter 12, The Triwizard Tournament. The magical carriages labor through the rain and mud until they finally come to a halt in front of the giant oak doors that mark the entrance to Hogwarts Castle. As soon as Harry, Ron, and Hermione arrive in the entrance hall, Peeves the Poltergeist welcomes them by dropping a water balloon on Ron's head. Professor McGonagall comes to their rescue and motions them into the Great Hall, where the annual sorting ceremony is about to begin. Harry sits down at the Gryffindor table and is greeted by an overexcited Colin Creevy. The third grader announces that his brother Dennis is starting Hogwarts this year and is about to be sorted. This makes Harry wonder whether all siblings are bound to be in the same house, but Hermione reminds him that even twins don't always belong to the same house. Padma and Parvati, for example, are in Gryffindor and Ravenclaw. Their attention then shifts over to the staff table, where there's still no sign of a new Defense Against the Dark Arts teacher. Hermione fears they might not have been able to find anyone who's willing to take the job, as it seems to be cursed. The enchanted ceiling reflects the stormy weather outside perfectly, and lightning keeps flashing across it. After what seems like an eternity, the doors of the Great Hall open again, and a line of soaked and shivering first years proceed to the top of the hall. One of the little boys stands out immediately. It is Dennis Creevy. He's wearing Hagrid's coat and proudly signals to his brother Colin that he fell into the water on their boat ride over. Professor McGonagall presents the sorting hat, and the entire school goes silent as the hat begins to sing. It tells the tale of how it was created by the four founders and recites the virtues each house represents. Ron notices that the song is slightly different from when they were sorted in their first year. They watch the ceremony with rumbling stomachs and witness Dennis Creevy get sorted into Gryffindor. After the last student is declared a Hufflepuff, Dumbledore opens the feast, and everyone enjoys a hearty dinner. Nearly headless Nick enviously eyes the food. He mentions that they're lucky to have something to eat tonight because Peeves had caused havoc earlier down in the kitchens. When he brings up how frightened the house elves were, Hermione is outraged at the thought of eating food made by slave labor. At the end of the feast, Professor Dumbledore rises to make several announcements. First, he reminds them on behalf of Filch to check the list of forbidden magical objects inside the castle because it has been extended by 3 new items. Followed by the usual reminder that the forest is out of bounds, as well as the village of Hogsmeade for first and second year students. Finally, the headmaster reveals the shocking news that there will be no Quidditch tournament this year. He's about to explain why, when thunder rumbles especially loud, and the doors of the Great Hall swing open to reveal a limping man with a wooden leg, a scarred face, and a missing chunk of nose. Most notably, one of his eyes appears large, round, and of a vivid electric blue color. Unlike his other normal-looking eye, this eye seems to move independently in all directions. Dumbledore introduces the strange man as the new Defense Against the Dark Arts teacher, Professor Moody. Staff and students are too flabbergasted by the ex-Auror's appearance to applaud. Dumbledore then delivers more thrilling news. The Triwizard Tournament will take place at Hogwarts this year. This prestigious event, held between Hogwarts, Beauxbatons, and Durmstrang, hasn't taken place in a century due to its high number of casualties in the past. However, it is now being revived, and a champion from each school will be chosen on Halloween to compete in 3 magical tasks. Hogwarts will host a number of pre-selected top students from Beauxbatons and Durmstrang during the school year. The guest students and their headmasters will be arriving in October. Dumbledore goes on to explain that due to the tournament's dangerous nature, only students aged 17 or older are eligible to enter. A number of students openly show their disapproval toward this new rule. Excited chatter fills the Great Hall as Dumbledore dismisses them to bed. Fred and George immediately begin plotting ways to bypass the age restriction. Even Ron and Harry dream about entering the tournament as they climb up the stairs to Gryffindor Tower and to their dormitory. All cozy and comfortable in his warm bed, Harry imagines what it would be like to be chosen as champion, raising his arms into the air after winning the tournament, admired by all his classmates, especially by Cho Chang.
Wait, that last line got me. Especially by Cho Chang.
Famous Chang.
He's mentioned her a couple of times, mm-hmm. right? He's definitely he's starting to notice not only other schools. Now he's like, okay, other schools exist, but also how about the mother houses up in here? He's been focused
on... How about girls exist?
Well, and I was getting to that, but he's been focused on Slytherins and, yeah, and Dracos. True. Okay? Dracos. And he is now focused on... Oh, there's Ravenclaw over there. Mm-hmm. All right, what's up, Ravenclaw? And Cho Chang.
Mm-hmm.
How you doing, baby? How you doing? All right. Okay, so I know you have thoughts. I know you have notes and you have a bunch of different things mm-hmm. Penciled down. But I want to reiterate a point that I made earlier, and yeah, I also want to talk about a few things. Okay?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So my major question is, why now? Why hold the Triwizard Tournament now? It has been over a century, okay?
Yeah.
So that is 1893, possibly.
Yeah.
When the tournament was last held. I don't know. Hogwarts Legacy, right? Time. So mm-hmm. what happened then? Clearly someone died, okay? Maybe a third year, fourth year, who knows, from maybe Durmstrang or Beauxbatons. But right, now we're going to hold it again. And I think the reason is, it's been 100 years,
yeah,
right? Sure, there was stuff going on with Grindelwald, Voldemort.
Yeah,
it was
the
a risky,
first Wizarding War.
Right, it was a risky first and second, right? It's been, those have both transpired between the time that we had the last Triwizard Tournament and then we're having this one. Mm-hmm. The reason we're having this one now is because of what it said in the chapter. We finally got our magical sports committee to meet up with our international relationships committee.
Right.
And they're basically saying, and I think it's all Dumbledore sort of saying, guess what? The Philosopher's Stone almost was stolen. The Chamber of Secrets was opened. And we all freaked out last year because somebody got out of Azkaban.
Mm-hmm.
If one person can get out, maybe more can.
Yeah.
Possibly. Okay? Now, before, because you have to imagine, it's like a year to set this tournament up or more. So they started in year three. And I think in year three, at the beginning of the year, Sirius Black is like there.
Yeah.
Okay? He's attacking, and you're Dumbledore. You're already meeting with everybody to set this up. And it's like, guys, we need to get the international community on board here, because this is like to start the year off 3 years in a row, we have had a reference or sort of a reminder that Voldemort is back. So I guarantee you he's like, Barty, hey, you get Ludo, go talk to everybody else. It is time that we start to strengthen our international mm-hmm. relationships, because
yeah,
I can see the signs.
Yeah, and because, I mean, especially like with Voldemort, he has not really gone beyond Britain's borders yet.
Yeah.
Dumbledore clearly remembers Grindelwald's time, and he
yeah.
was one who definitely caused like an international kind of war.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know
mm-hmm.
the end yet, but...
For
definitely
sure.
international like trials, like
yep.
where borders or countries were tested and loyalties were tested, and he definitely wants to prevent and like thinking ahead, wants to prevent that happening in the future. Even though you said there has been Death Eaters from other countries, as we know,
mm-hmm.
I'm blanking
yeah.
on his name,
Karkaroff
yeah. is not from Britain, so
right.
we don't know how many more there is.
Exactly. So yep. the stretch, it's like it's growing.
Mm.
What's crazy when you think back to the Dumbledore Grindelwald story? Grindelwald went to Durmstrang, right?
Yeah, he
and
did.
So it's interesting when you think about maybe how yeah. they would have met. And I think about my theory that they might be bringing like Dumbledore when he shows up at Hogwarts, I believe when he shows up there, I think it's like, it's around this time. Mm-hmm. I think he could be a first or a second year.
Yeah.
When they have the last Triwizard Tournament. I could be wrong. I think the timing
oh
is that
goodness.
Like Dumbledore
yes.
shows up as a first, second, or third year. I don't know what it is. And he could have met Grindelwald there, who came with the Durmstrang students. You know what I'm saying?
You know who definitely has experienced a Triwizard Tournament? Nicholas Flamel.
Wow.
He was a Beauxbatons student, I'm sure.
What?
And he's over isn't he over 700 years old?
Hold on just a second. Full time out here. Wait. Wait, Nicholas? You're right.
I think he's from France. I think he went to Beauxbatons. And that's because they hold it every 5 years. He must have, unless it was not invented yet when he went to school.
So it looks like he was born 1326, so the tournament was well in swing.
Wow, so he definitely experienced one.
So major question there, Nicholas Flamel, was he ever a Triwizard champion?
Ooh,
because clearly, the tournament was kind of going during his time, and it had been it had been around for over 700 years.
So that's around, an interesting question. I'm gonna write down
1294. I think would have been about the time where the tournament was created, the Triwizard Tournament, the Goblet of Fire, and such. And then he is born in the year 1326, clear up until at least 1992. So it's possible.
Yeah.
Right? It's possible that Nicholas Flamel could have been a Triwizard Tournament champion. Dang.
That is cool to think about that.
So although Dumbledore, according to the series, met Gellert Grindelwald when he was 17, right? So he meets him when he's 17. His great aunt, Bathilda Bagshot, they meet at Godric's Hollow. But I would like to theorize a little bit that maybe they met before they were 17. It's possible that maybe they didn't really, they weren't really friends, but maybe they met or they were acquainted in some way.
They have seen each other before.
Seen each other in passing. Maybe their first initial contact was not when they were 17, but that 17 sort of like they recalled a previous memory or moment where they had originally met at either Hogwarts or Durmstrang during the Triwizard Tournament.
Yes.
Now, why? Because in 1994, over 100 years ago was the last time that we had the Triwizard Championship. And it was, that would be 1894, which would mean that Dumbledore was a third year student and Gellert Grindelwald would have been a second year student. So it's possible that if Dumbledore was visiting Durmstrang, the tournament was held there, he'd be a third year student, maybe very gifted and talented.
Maybe
hey, we're going
to
bring,
come...
it is our short list of champions. Albus, you're up, buddy. Let's go. You're the youngest. And they bring him, and he goes to Durmstrang, and he meets a a Gellert Grindelwald.
Yeah.
Or the other way around. Again, you have like a second year, not likely, but maybe just for the experience of saying, let's take one of our best Grindelwald and let's bring him to Hogwarts.
Yeah, one of the most promising students, maybe.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so maybe they just had some sort of handshake or passing, or they knew of each other because they both were at the Triwizard Tournament.
Wow.
The last one. Wouldn't that be crazy?
That would have been cool.
Porky Games, I'm telling you, let's go. This is where it's at.
That'd
anyway,
be so cool.
Sorry, just had to get all the facts straight there on that. But yeah, Dumbledore was born in August 1881. He would enter Hogwarts at 1892. The game is taking place in 1890. As far as we can tell, it's 1890. So 2 years from now, when our student is a seventh year, it looks like we'll possibly have Albus Dumbledore showing up as a first year. Maybe.
And we don't know the exact date, so it could be even earlier or not later, right? Not later than 94 because of the century thing. Okay.
Right.
Gotcha.
I mean, if we're taking that, I mean, sometimes you just say ballpark, it's been over a century.
Yeah.
Does that mean it's been 105 years? Has it been exactly 100 and...
But it's possible that it's Dumbledore himself has witnessed a Triwizard Tournament.
Tragedy
and... met maybe Gellert Grindelwald before.
Right. Be really cool, right?
Yes.
All right, sorry. I had to just get that out of the way. I think it's important to understand why there's been such a gap and maybe the significance of these characters and how you could tie all
that
together.
Yeah, it's never explained before.
Right,
so.
Right.
Wow. Crazy. Okay, before they even learn about, before the students of Hogwarts even learn about this huge event for them, I mean, we see it through Harry's eyes. A lot of them have never really met wizards and witches from other countries. So this is really, really exciting this year. But as of right now, when we start the chapter, they don't even know about that yet. All they're worried about is getting into the dry castle, getting out of the rain, right? It's, I mean, this whole day and night, it's been pouring. It's terrible weather outside. It's been storming. I mean, Hogwarts is on this island, probably surrounded by, we know, the Great Lake, the Loch. It's probably a loch, right? And it's just on this island up there, the castle. And they come inside. Peeves, the poltergeist.
Bless him.
He throws water balloons at the students, and one of the balloons hits Ron on his head. And it turns out this is all because Peeves is not allowed to attend the feast. Later on, it's explained, Nick explains to us that Peeves has been trying to attend the welcome feast.
Yeah.
And that's why he's caused havoc in the kitchens. Uh-huh. And they held a ghost council for Peeves. Guess what? The fat friar?
Yeah.
He was going to say, oh, let him. It's okay.
Come on.
Let Peeves be part of the celebration and
right.
stuff. But
Hufflepuff right there.
Right. But the Bloody Baron wouldn't have it. So
well, like, I get. I you know, so. Can I ask you a question?
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the issues that people have is maybe instead of like opposing and being against Peeves,
mm-hmm.
the way to work with him is to be friends with him a little bit.
Right. That's what Fred and George did. And he right, saluted and
try,
them.
Exactly. And try to, you know, maybe like appreciate his mischief a little bit or laugh at it or I don't know, not participate in it, but essentially give mm-hmm. him that respect instead of just, I don't know. It feels like a lot of people get it wrong and they start yeah. to just, they yell and they cry and they stamp their foot right. and blah, blah. And he says, that's all he wants. That's
yeah,
all he
yeah,
wants you to do
exactly.
that. He's so happy. So don't give him what he wants. I mean, yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
No, we see even Professor McGonagall has problems keeping Peeves in check, and maybe Dumbledore can handle him better. Probably exactly for that very reason.
Mm-hmm.
You just said you got to be more on Peeves' level. You can see a Dumbledore kind of joking around with Peeves
oh, yeah.
more than you can see Professor McGonagall do that.
Right, right.
I like, though, that McGonagall here is depicted very, very human. Because she almost falls. It's very slippery in the great hall. In the entrance hall,
mm-hmm.
Because of all the rain and the water, and she almost falls, and she has to hold on to Hermione.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah,
which kind of hurts her because I think she's like
it seems to be like she's sliding in on like she's
right.
like oh and she like reaches over and grabs Hermione
yeah.
by the shoulder and like pulls Hermione down with her. It's like, oh, sorry
yeah.
dear, you know, but like
right. And I love that though because it shows just humanity. Often we see Professor McGonagall as this stern teacher. She's got it all together. She's a strong witch, right?
Yeah,
but she's also just a person.
Well, can here's something. When you're teaching
yeah.
and you do that one thing where you stub your toe or you trip or you drop something and people are like, oh, my teacher's just, a, you know, because you're
yes.
explaining, you're right. educating, you're doing your thing, and then
oh,
you
yeah.
do something that just is kind of embarrassing.
Right.
And
all,
sort of like,
it happens all the time.
None of us can focus because you just totally made a fool out of yourself
right.
and you're like, oh, okay, well. Fine.
And then either, yeah, you have choices. Either you laugh it off or you kind of
right.
brush over it or you make another joke out of it. It's, yeah, you have many
right.
choices, but.
Yeah, and they
it's,
you never
it's
know how it's
going to
go.
It's a skill you kind of have to grow when you start teaching.
Right. High school and middle
right.
school boys.
Oh, gosh.
Good luck.
Yeah.
Good luck. They ain't going to let you live that down, Frau
nope.
Kirka.
Yeah. Oh, goodness. Yeah, if you say something wrong, pronounce yeah. things wrong, then you're, yeah.
Done. Done for.
It's so funny when they enter the Great Hall and they're, like, waiting for the first years to be sorted. It's the snobbishness of being an older student that comes through Harry and Ron here. They're like, man, I'm so hungry. Can they get on with this?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, I'm starving.
Right.
And even though Harry is kind of excited because he's never watched a sorting ceremony before, except for his own.
Right.
Because of the events last year and the year before. But that attitude they have, you know, like, oh, we're established Hogwarts students. We're in our fourth year now. It's almost like they forgot how they felt when they were first years in that little, weren't they in the broom chamber or a broom thing, like a little, like all the first years were in there and they were talking about what could be the big thing they have to face when they get into the Great Hall. And nobody seemed to know what it was, but they were so nervous. And now here they are, like, you know, whatever. It's kind of a nuisance to them and they're just older.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway, Colin Creevy.
Let's go.
He tells Harry that his brother Dennis is going to start Hogwarts this year. And then they're discussing if siblings normally end up in the same house. And here's a question for you. Hermione already tells us, well, not always, because, you know, Parvati and her sister and Padma, they're in totally different, like they're in Gryffindor and Ravenclaw.
Yeah.
Question for you. Do you think you and your sister would have been in the same house?
Oh, no way.
You don't think she's a Hufflepuff?
No way. Uh-uh.
No?
Nope.
She has some Hufflepuff traits, but...
Yeah, but you know what? She would have been, in the best way possible, a Slytherin.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Totally.
I can see that,
totally.
Too.
Totally. And I love her so much, and but it's just... Yeah, she's so different from me that there's just no way. Because I think about that. I'm like, all right, you look at the Weasleys, too. I mean, in a lot of ways, they're all very different, but at the same time, you know, they're also truly Gryffindors. I like that you have siblings who could go, especially the twins, that they go in different houses like that.
Yes.
You know, the Patil twins.
Yeah.
So for me and my sister, no, I would be a Hufflepuff and she would be a Slytherin. Straight up.
How about your mom and dad?
Mom and dad, no. Dad would have been a Gryffindor and mom would have been a Ravenclaw.
Really? Yeah. You would have been like one of those families who had all four houses.
I'm straight up not even messing with you. Yeah.
That's awesome.
No, for a fact. I can call it. They could all take the test and I could call it.
We still have potential, okay? If we have kids that are where one is in Gryffindor and one is in Slytherin, we could have a family of four houses again.
It might run in my family. I don't know.
Yeah.
Now, how about you and your brother? Though, how about you and your brother?
It's funny, I thought about that when I came up with the question, obviously. My brother also has some Slytherin traits for sure, but I think he would have been a Ravenclaw.
Me too. As well. I was going to say Ravenclaw too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we would have been in the same house.
Yep.
He would have been a Raven Wren, whatever the combination word for Ravenclaw and Slytherin would be. But I definitely don't think my mom and dad would be in the same house as my brother and I.
No.
I think my mom and dad actually might have been Slytherins or Gryffindors.
Yeah. I think they... I'm so glad that you said first that they were Slytherins.
No, yeah.
I was like, nah, they're both Slytherins. Straight up.
It's so funny. It's
crazy, right? That these... Your mom and dad, and they had two Ravenclaws.
Very ambitious. Yeah.
Yeah. Butted very heads.
Yes. That's a reason. There's a reason why, you know, my mom and dad, they... They're divorced, and that's okay, but they are both what you call, I don't know, you call them, do you call them alpha dogs?
Yeah, alpha here? Dogs.
Yeah, yes. They just both want to be in charge and know what, you know, tell you what's up.
Right,
so.
Right.
It's really...
That's funny.
But yeah, I can see why it didn't work out in the end.
Right.
So. It's so interesting to think about the family bonds, and it also depends on what you value, right? I think my brother
sure.
and I, we definitely value different things than my mom and dad.
Yeah.
I would say. And even my brother and I, we also each value different things, but also you're not always the same. I mean, all the Gryffindors are different. All the Ravenclaws are different.
Yeah. Luna and Cho are very different.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
Totally.
Yeah. But what they... Like the core values they have about, you know, knowledge and creativity and all that stuff. I think that's where they agree in different ways. Yeah.
Can I just say Colin and Dennis Creevy?
Yes. Talk about them.
What a name, by the way. The Creevy brothers.
Yeah.
Just think of it. Just the Creevy brothers. They're just crazy. They're just crazy. They're, you know, Colin's so pumped that he's a wizard. And his brother's here now. And he's
they're
just like,
yes.
Can you believe this?
Yeah.
Right? Can you believe this? It's just, to them, it's just wild. Mm-hmm. And they never really get over the idea that, like, how cool this is.
Yeah.
And it's just, I think I need to give them more love as we go through the reread, because they're a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. And I kind of wish that actor would have stuck around in the movies and we would have had more of the Creevy presence, but we only really get it in Chamber of Secrets is where he's at. So
I think he might be in the background for some of the other movies.
Right, right, yeah. But anyways, I love him though. I think it's cool, and it's just kind of neat because through Dennis is the one who falls in. I don't know if you're going to get or Was that, did we already mention that or is that coming up? But he fell in, right? He was completely drenched. And then the squid, he said,
Can you imagine as Hagrid, though? Maybe Hagrid didn't even see it because...
Did Hagrid jump in after him?
You know...
Did Hagrid swim?
Or Hagrid had his umbrella nearby and kind of, you know, he just felt... Dennis just felt a force pushing him back into the boat, and Colin is the one who just guesses, oh, it must have been the giant squid.
Right, but...
Maybe... It was Hagrid.
It could have been Hagrid's mat.
Or a merperson.
Hagrid's magic.
Yeah.
But it could also be that Hagrid has good relationships with the giant squid.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
And maybe the merpeople, possibly. I mean, he's into those, you know, right? Fantastical
Probably. Maybe,
beings.
Yeah, maybe there is some sort of, even before, like every year before he goes and gets the first years.
Yeah, yeah.
In case, you know, 11-year-old kids, if somebody, just because they're being silly, even if it's not Stormy, but they push each other off the boat, maybe he has like a little conversation with the giant squid right before and said, hey, you know, can you just watch out for them?
Yeah, maybe we're going to feed you something extra after the great feast.
Please don't eat the kids.
Yeah, we've got you. All right, we'll hook you up.
Yeah.
Possibly, but...
But those two, they're just
they're great.
They're so excited about all this stuff because they would never have imagined. They have very different reactions from Hermione. But while Hermione is immediately... Her nature is to dive into all the books and figure out all this stuff because she feels behind because she's not learned anything about the Wizarding World before she entered, right? So she always had that feeling of, I'm going to go get ahead before everyone else. And they're just in the moment excited, like Dennis and Colin.
Yeah, I would love to, maybe we'll do a deep dive, because some of these characters as they come up, one of the things we wanted to do on Patreon more is to go into their full story, kind of like a stretch ahead in the series. But Dennis Creevy, I would almost like to speculate, like, what does happen to him afterwards, and where does he go in life?
Yeah, for the sorting, however, we hear the Sorting Hat song. And this song is interesting because it seems to mention the birthplaces of the founders. And let me just, the two lines, let me read that real quick. So the song starts, the hat starts singing. And here are a few of the lines. When he sings about the founders, he says, "Bold Gryffindor from Wild Moor, fair Ravenclaw from Glen, sweet Hufflepuff from Valley Broad, shrewd Slytherin from Fen." And here is a cool theory from Reddit. Reddit user Giffy the Shark says the following. "As I was rereading Goblet of Fire, I noticed the Sorting Hat song stated that the founders... were," and then he says, "Bold Gryffindor," and so on, what I just read. "I think that this indicates they are from the four separate countries in the British Isles, the Moors indicating England for Gryffindor, Glen denoting the Scottish Highlands for Ravenclaw, broad valleys representing Wales for Hufflepuff, and the marshy fen symbolizing Ireland for Slytherin. It also kind of matches up with the house's colors. Gryffindor has red, like on the English flag, and the national flower rose. Slytherin has green, the color of a shamrock, and the Irish is the Irish national plant. And we know, you know, everyone.
Green, green, green.
Green and Ireland go together.
Right.
Ravenclaw has blue, as seen on the Scottish flag, and Hufflepuff has yellow, the color of the Welsh national flower, daffodil."
Dang.
Right?
That'd be kind of cool.
That's so fun. I mean, it's nothing groundbreaking for the book series or anything, but I think it's a cool idea.
That's kind of
fitting.
She's
never confirmed. I mean, J.K. Rowling never confirmed this theory, looks like. This was 4 years ago when this was posted on Reddit. So I think it's a cool idea.
Yeah, because the Sorting Hat does sort of say from here and from here and from there, and mentions each of the founders by name, and then has one or two words to reference maybe where they're from.
Yeah.
So if that's all you have to go off of, and again, they're the founders for this school, and they represent those different regions, and they maybe the most powerful individuals in their region, and they come up through there. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That'd be really cool.
Cool theory. And also, this also motivates me to go see other parts of the British Isles,
because
we've seen quite a lot of Scotland, and we still want to go back and explore more. But also, I would love to see Wales and some parts of England and Ireland for sure. So,
yeah.
We just need to go back.
Yes.
And then after the ceremony's over and Dumbledore is about to announce the Triwizard Tournament, here enters one of the main characters. We've heard his name before, but we also know it is actually not him. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. Moody enters the Great Hall. He's a little late.
Yeah.
But it's actually Barty Crouch Jr. Yes.
So this is, yeah, okay. This is crazy, okay? It's actually crazy to think that Barty Crouch Jr. does show up here and enters Hogwarts in this disguise. And that there's, I know it's Polyjuice Potion must be super, it's just, he's not, he's impersonating. So it's like this physical alteration.
Yeah.
But there's no, you know, at Gringotts when they go through the Thieves' Downfall?
Yeah.
Like it washes off all those different sort of enchantments
crazy
and stuff.
Hogwarts doesn't do that.
Yeah. There's nothing that you have to sort of walk through and you can come in like this. I wonder if they didn't change that though. You know, I wonder if Dumbledore.
Oh, after, yeah.
Yeah, things were getting a little crazy. He had a lot on his plate, but maybe they're like, you know what? In case somebody else comes in here trying to impersonate a professor or someone else and they're trying to come in and attack our students, maybe we should sort of set up another defense where you have to kind of walk through and go through like the Thieves' Downfall to where it takes away all those potions, all those enhancements or all those special effects or any sort of, I guess it would be deception, any type of deception, you know, that to,
Interestingly enough, just last year, they put up this whole defense thing with the Dementors, you know, for a false criminal.
Right, exactly. Like,
Sirius wasn't really a criminal, but they were afraid of him, so they put the Dementors in charge to guard Hogwarts. Now they're gone, and now here is a real imposter, a real intruder. And it's crazy.
Real prisoner of Azkaban.
Right, he is.
Right? I mean, he's actually the prisoner of Azkaban.
He's the real prisoner.
And he's here he is. He shows up. There are no Dementors guarding this place. Even if they were there, even if the Dementors were there to sort of protect and let's say...
Would they have recognized him?
I don't think so, right? Because they just see like a soul for a soul. Mm. His mother goes in. Barty Crouch Jr.'s mother is substituted for him. They're really kind of blind in that way.
Yeah.
Right? As long as they have something to feed on in that cell, they didn't really care. They just wanted to feed on it. And even though they left his mother there and he's gone, they don't see the difference necessarily, which is interesting. So them guarding here, they would have been like, hey, whatever, dude. You know, we don't recognize your like the sensations of your particular, you know, feelings, energy, soul, whatever it is that we kind of suck on.
Right.
It's crazy. But yeah, so they would have just let him in.
Wild.
I do want to say another thing, though. I think that when Mad-Eye Moody comes in and he goes up to Dumbledore, when he walks up, there's a meeting between the two.
Right.
And I don't know if you have that in front of you.
Right here.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead and read that.
The stranger reached Dumbledore. He stretched out a hand that was as badly scarred as his face, and Dumbledore shook it, muttering words Harry couldn't hear. He seemed to be making some inquiry of the stranger, who shook his head unsmilingly and replied in an undertone. Dumbledore nodded and gestured the man to the empty seat on his right hand side.
There you go. It's good. Okay. So two interesting things is that you have the stranger. So she got the clue is there, right?
Yeah.
He's a stranger.
Yeah.
He is a stranger to Harry, but he's also a stranger to Dumbledore, kind of. And he shows up and Dumbledore inquires something of him.
Yeah.
I believe that he is interrogating Mad-Eye Moody, the real Moody, in his sort of like box or whatever. And he basically says, is there anything special between you and Dumbledore that you exchange to confirm your identity? Is there anything that Dumbledore will be looking for? A phrase or a code name or some sort of whatever. Right there is this whispered greeting. And it seemed as if Dumbledore was sort of asking... it wouldn't surprise me as the constant vigilance of Mad-Eye Moody to say, hey, to make sure it's the real me, you know, I'm going to ask you blank, 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 or I'm going to say this or whatever. It's the same thing that they do after the Battle of the Seven Potters.
Right. Lupin does it.
Right. Yeah. They have these questions to make sure that it is the real person. Now, they do that later because of this situation and because there's a spy in their midst and they're betrayed and Mad-Eye Moody himself is killed at that point. But it really is interesting that I think they go up here and it seems the way it's worded is that Dumbledore is inquiring as if he's checking. And whatever the check is, he passes. He passes because he's interrogated the real Moody, and whatever he had to say to Dumbledore there, it seems, I mean, I'm making this up. This is just headcanon for me, that there's some sort of exchange or password to confirm that this is the real person or something, or that there's, it's just something that they always do to where they sort of know that this is
each,
and it seems crazy could to say that, but I'm just spitballing.
Another option could also be that he's just inquiring about the intruders this morning, or how it went with the ministry and everything. You know, Arthur went there. I don't know how if Dumbledore, if, you know, he's just checking on him. Is everything okay?
Yeah.
Because maybe he heard of the
dustbins.
Yeah, the dustbins. Yeah.
Arthur Weasley was there that morning. Yeah. So something happened the morning of. Suspicious. So he's got to be asking Moody, like, what do I do to sort of assure Dumbledore that I am the real Moody? I bet you he asked him a bunch of questions. What is it that I have to do? Not just your gait, or that he, knowing that he drinks from the flask or whatever.
Yeah, which is a blessing for him right now, because every single hour, we know that it wears off, the Polyjuice potion wears off after an hour.
Right. I wonder if there's any long-term side effects of that, actually.
I'm sure.
I'm sure people haven't drank it for like a whole school year.
Oh, sorry.
It's kind of crazy, you know what I mean? A whole day would be one thing, but to drink it every hour of every day.
Mm-hmm.
And imagine this, when Mad-Eye Moody goes to sleep at night, at Hogwarts,
he turns
into Barty Crouch Jr.
If you went into his room in his bed and you pulled away the sheets, you would find...
You'd find a naked Barty Crouch Jr. I'm sorry.
Wait, how do you know he's naked?
I don't know. He sleeps in his undies. I don't know. But
yeah, you're right, though.
Crazy, right?
Yeah, that is crazy, man.
It's just nuts to think that he's there.
Well, plus we know that Harry doesn't really check the Marauders map a whole lot, because... The one time he sees Moody, a.k.a. Barty Crouch, the map doesn't specify junior or senior. So to his luck, Barty Crouch Sr. is also on the castle grounds somewhere. So Harry doesn't know. He just assumes it's the older Barty Crouch.
Right.
But had he looked at his map any point in time, any night, and he saw Moody's office or the DADA office, there would have been Barty Crouch, his name.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
wild.
Yeah.
Anyway, so he shows up. The man's crazy. Yes. And I think we'll get into later some speculation about what his eye can see through and what it can't see through, because it's twirling all around right now.
Yeah, that's what everyone notices right away, is that strange eye that strange he eye has. And he's absolutely, like, his body seems very scarred everywhere. Parts of his, nose are missing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
His entire face looks very much...
Hermione actually says, what's wrong with his face?
Yeah.
Like, he really looks like he's been through a battle.
Yes. Many battles, in fact. Yeah. So, Dumbledore introduces him as the new teacher, and no one claps but Dumbledore and Hagrid. And they're like, okay.
Awkward.
Okay, let's move on, is what Dumbledore says. Move on to something happier and tell them that the Triwizard Tournament will be taking place at Hogwarts this year. You're joking, said said Fred Weasley loudly. He can't believe it. But this breaks the tension that had filled the hall ever since Moody's arrival. Nearly everyone laughed, and Dumbledore chuckled appreciatively. I am not joking, Mr. Weasley, he said, though... Now that you mention it, I did hear an excellent one over the summer about a troll, a hag, and a leprechaun who all go into a bar. Professor McGonagall cleared her throat loudly. Oh, but maybe this is not the time. No, said Dumbledore.
Yeah.
And you actually went and checked if there is... If you can find the joke that Dumbledore mentioned anywhere.
Right. And so this has been interesting. There's actually been a lot of like little Reddit posts, and I think MuggleNet actually had their own sort of version of the joke. They finished the joke, if you will. So Dumbledore starts off with a troll, a hag, and a leprechaun all went into a bar.
Yeah.
And to finish that joke, I had ChatGPT finish it for me.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And it basically came up with this. So a troll, a hag, and a leprechaun all went into a bar. The bartender looks up and says, quote, what is this? Some kind of Triwizard Tournament reunion? You didn't laugh. You didn't think it's funny. I thought it was hilarious. It doesn't seem like it's a funny joke. I literally said, that was so good, you made me laugh out loud. To me, I just thought it was like, I mean, it's so dumb.
But they're not the Triwizard Tournament. No, from different schools.
I know. It doesn't even. The bartender looks up and says, "What is this? Some kind of Triwizard Tournament reunion?"
I remember you were dying laughing.
I think it's
and
so
I was so
stupid.
Excited for this joke.
I know you were. I know you were. I'm sorry. I've let you down big time. But it's just, it's a leprechaun, a troll, and a hag. Now, yeah. It's just ChatGPT trying to say, throw shade at this leprechaun, this troll, and this hag.
Are you saying that Crumb is a troll, Cedric is a leprechaun, and that Fleur is a hag?
Is a hag. I don't know. I just thought, yeah, I just thought it was funny. I then ask it to make me different versions. I'm so glad there was an awkward pause where you're like, that's not funny. Because I laughed out loud. I don't know why. I didn't expect it. It was the unexpected thing. I didn't expect it to come up with that. It was like just a, all right. Here, let me see. The other ones, they're pretty bad, though. they're bad. It just came up with some bad ones. So a leprechaun, a troll, and a hag all walk into a bar. The bartender looks up and says, what'll it be? The leprechaun says, a pint of your finest ale. The troll grunts, something strong. The hag cackles and says, I'll have some water. The bartender raises an eyebrow and says, water in a magical bar? The hag grins. It's for my cauldron. I've got a potion to brew. It's just so dumb. ChatGPT, your sense of humor. And I guess I'm laughing more because it's AI trying to create a joke. Yeah. And it's just, it's off, man. It needs some feedback. It just has no way of giving a good... So... And then here, okay, a leprechaun, a troll, and a hag. I tried three times. A leprechaun, a troll, and a hag all went into a bar. Bartender looks up and says, sorry, folks, we don't serve magical creatures here. The leprechaun replies, that's okay, we brought our own butterbeer. They're just dumb. It's not a joke. And I literally said, can you tell a different version of the same joke? And it just didn't. It was bad.
Can we make a joke out of this? The leprechaun, so we don't.
There's nothing good.
No magical creatures here.
Here's why it's so bad. MuggleNet
the hag
also
says, there's nothing magical about me, bro.
There's nothing magic. Yeah, ain't nothing magic. Yeah, no.
Okay.
No. Okay. So MuggleNet went on to kind of try to finish this joke, and they said, okay. So they wrote back to one of their. I think it was somebody who wrote into them and asked them, you know, dear Professor Dumbledore, could you please finish the joke that you started in Harry's fourth year? And so Dumbledore writes back, air quote, Dumbledore, this being them, right, writing back saying, I'm so glad that you asked this question. Here is the abridged joke. A leprechaun, a troll, and a hag all went into a bar. Benny, said the bartender to the leprechaun, I warned you three not to come back here after the last time. Took me weeks to clean up after all the mischief you caused. Oh, but it's Floss's birthday, said Benny, pointing to the hag. She smiled and showed off one of her good tooths. Showed off for one good tooth. I just can't read as I was trying to make it work. Okay. Give us a quick pint and let Troll and me sing to her. Then we'll be on our way. Cross me heart and hope to die. The bartender was a soft-hearted and rather soft-headed man, so he did as Benny asked. No sooner had they finished their drinks when a fight broke out over who should be allowed to kiss Floss on her birthday. The troll and the leprechaun wrestled like they were caught in devil's snare and broke a remarkable amount of glassware. The bartender tried every spell he knew to stop them, but nothing worked. Truth to tell, he was not a very good wizard. Meanwhile, Floss the hag stood by, grinning and looking quite pleased with the celebration in her honor. After a lengthy brawl, the troll had the advantage. He towered over the quaking leprechaun, ready to smash an enormous beer barrel over the poor fellow's head. Oh, for pity's sake, said Floss, who was also an accomplished wish you happy birthday, witch. Aloha Mora. With a wave of her wand, Floss opened the sealed barrel, dumping a lovely golden brew over the troll, and quite possibly saving the leprechaun's life. Floss, cried the leprechaun, let me thank you with a wee kiss. But the hag shook her tangled tresses of hair and refused him. You see, I'm the one she likes, shouted Troll. He somersaulted to his lady love and tried to gather her in his great arms, but in a blink of a cyclops's eye, the hag disapparated and her companions fled. Once again, the bartender was left with a dreadful mess to clean up. His wife, who had witnessed the whole affair, heaved a sigh and began to mop up the ale. Well, my dear, she said, at least we've learned two important lessons. What's that? Said her grumpy husband. he was in no mood for philosophical musings. Obviously, the wise and alarmingly cheerful woman continued, "A Benny saved is a Benny spurned, but a rolling troll gathers no floss." And now you see why Professor McGonagall stopped me from telling this joke. In fact, she had heard me tell it twice and has threatened me with several unforgivable curses if I ever attempt to tell it again in her presence. I believe this type of joke, one that can go on for a very long time with an annoyingly small payoff, is called a, quote, shaggy dog story in Muggle terms. I consider it excellent fun, especially when I allow myself to sing every verse of the Troll and the Leprechaun's birthday songs. I once knew a very fine leprechaun who excelled at this sort of tale. His record length of time before delivering a faintly amusing punchline was somewhere in the neighborhood of 7 years. Unfortunately, he was driven out of Ireland immediately afterwards. I encourage you to tell this joke to your friends and add as many riddles and unimportant details as possible. But do not blame me if they are not your friends when you finish. Yours in mischief and mirth, Professor A. Dumbledore.
Wow.
It's just the dumbest thing.
That was longer than the chapter itself.
Right? It's crazy. Sorry.
But you know what's funny to think about, though? Where did he learn that joke? Maybe at his brother's bar.
Probably.
Maybe this actually happened in
the Hag's Head was wow. Yeah. So shout out to MuggleNet, shout out to ChatGPT. Both terrible jokes. Real lame. Sorry. Just
had to give it to you. Now we know, though, what Dumbledore was trying to say. Or we can, at least
speculate that it wasn't appropriate, right, or it was going to take way too long, and McGonagall had had enough of it.
Right. So. Back to the Triwizard Tournament, though.
Please, get us back.
Yeah, Dumbledore, I love how he starts explaining what it is, but he also seems to assume that some already know. So he says, "I hope those who do know will forgive me for giving a short explanation and allow their attention to wander freely." And I want to say, as a teacher, I think this should be said more sometimes.
Oh, for sure.
Sorry. Well, explain it again. If you already know, allow your attention to wander freely.
Right.
Don't talk to each other, but you can drift off for
daydream for a second. Go to your happy place.
I love that he says that.
Yeah, actually, I think I'm going to use that next year.
Yeah.
That's a good one. Like, I need to do a lot of review. Yeah. And these five need this review, and the rest of you guys, just give me 2 minutes.
Right. Okay. Yes. Mm. So then he gives all this background information about the Triwizard Tournament, and he's announcing, it's taking place at our school this year. The other schools, Durmstrang and Beauxbatons, are only bringing a short list of contenders. And they will be arriving in October, so they have at least 1 month of a normal school year, opposed to the movie, where they arrive right away. And also, it seems like, I don't know, I never really thought about it, but I guess like the other Beauxbatons and Durmstrang students, they just stay there and have a normal school year, while a certain number, they don't give us a number how many students of each school are there.
No, yeah, just a handful, right? Could be 50, could be...
Right.
Yeah.
And in school, we know that it's going to be boys and girls for both schools, so they're not just mono ed education.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's an age restriction, which a lot of students don't like, and they're all talking about how to enter. What is odd to me, though, is that Fred and George, so Dumbledore releases them, they're going to bed, they're going to Gryffindor Tower, and they're all talking, and Fred and George, they think that Dumbledore hasn't really said it's going to be the Goblet of Fire who's going to choose. Mm-hmm. He just said a judge, so they are all assuming it's a person who's going to choose, right? So if I hear... okay, you can only enter if you're 17, and this is the person who's going to choose from that entry. I'm not going to assume that this person is not going to talk to, like, the teachers, and if I'm under 17 and he would choose my name, I would just think that the teachers would tell him, no, this person can't enter.
But as you
Fred
see...
and George, they just kind of, I don't know, assume that this is not the case.
And they assumed correctly. didn't they?
They do, but if you think of a person, I don't know. It would be weird to assume that.
Yeah, they don't know. I mean, again, they also have their insight to the magical world is interesting, right? Yeah. So maybe they understood what Dumbledore was saying a little bit about this being this impartial judge that is just going to pick the best champ.
Yes.
You know, you guys are trying to put this age restriction on the cup. If you, look, really, the age restriction is this line.
Yeah.
If you can get past the line, which is created by the teachers, the cup, it doesn't care.
Mm-hmm.
The cup will just pick the best person, the best champion, whoever they think is most worthy. That's an interesting thing to think about there as well, too.
Right.
Because Harry Potter, interestingly, when we get there later, Barty Crouch Jr., fake Moody, will put him, will create a whole another school.
And he's the only one who entered for that school. Yeah. True.
Because he would not have been chosen. Cedric was it.
Probably.
And I think even if you opened it up to everybody underage, Cedric still.
Harry would not have been chosen. I actually thought about, before we started this episode, I thought about if Hermione would have been a good contender. But then someone pointed out, well, she is super smart, but sometimes when you think back, she panics. In certain situations, she all of a sudden panics and doesn't know what to do for a second and is frozen. She doesn't fly very well. She's certain things that she might have not done the best. And I was like, wow.
And that grows, maybe. Throughout the series. Definitely. I think she starts to change. Mm-hmm. I think by the time she's in her fifth or sixth year, I think.
Especially in the seventh book.
Yeah.
She did everything.
She's clutch. She's it. Yeah.
Honestly, yeah. So it's just fun to think about. Yeah. Neville. Mm-hmm. Neville would have been, he said he would have felt pressure to enter because his grandma always says he has to kind of restore or, you know, bring some honor to his family name.
Yeah.
With his parents being Orrs and stuff. What's cool is that Ron defends him when Neville steps into, you know, the steps sometimes vanish when they go up the stairs and Neville accidentally kind of falls in.
Skip that step.
Right. They help him out. And one of the suit of armors laughs at him and Ron's like, shut it, you, and bangs down its visor as they pass. So it's very nice of him.
Ron's got his back.
Yeah, he does. And then we end the chapter and it sounds so comfy when Harry, Ron, Neville get into their pajamas and into bed. Someone, a house elf, no doubt, had placed warming pans between the sheets. It was extremely comfortable lying there in bed and listening to the storm raging outside.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Harry drifts off into like a dream about him impressing Cho and stuff. But yeah.
Which, I mean, yeah, he's it's crazy that he's just noticing these other houses and stuff. Cedric's noticing her too.
True.
You know?
Yeah.
I hope we get more in the TV show about like how maybe just a few other moments where we look across the Great Hall and we see Harry's admiring her, but we also see, like, even beyond Cho is, like, maybe Cedric looking at her, too.
And we're like, I feel like Cedric and Cho have been talking even the prior year more because they are they in the same year? No. Cedric is in 6, Cho in 5, fifth. Harry in 4. So she's a year younger than Cedric, but they probably, you know, since they both are Quidditch players, I feel like the Gryffindors often talk with the Slytherins or have classes with the Slytherins, maybe, even though she's younger, but I don't know, I feel like they've known each other even longer than this year. They've
for sure
before.
Yeah, right on.
All right,
well, there we went, dove
this
into
this is the chapter. This is the Triwizard Tournament. That's it, guys, it's over. I was just as funny as ChatGPT.
Yeah, I don't know what the joke is there, but well, with that, I'm sure you guys have had your fill of jokes and got nothing. I'm sure you guys are just done, all right, with us, and we appreciate you. Thanks for hanging in there. If you're still listening here to the end, you guys are the best.
You are.
If you listened all the way to this very moment right now, send us a message so we can give you a special shout out or something.
Yes.
Because I'm telling you right now, that just makes me happy.
Yeah.
People who get to the end of the podcast. Not many.
Do I get a special something for every time I edit, I get to the end of the episode?
Absolutely. You name it. Yeah. You make sure.
I mean, guys, which is even harder when you have to listen to yourself again and again and again every week.
You're doing great, though, right? You're getting used to your own voice. You're getting used to...
Yeah.
Okay. All right, friends. Well, that is all for this week. Thank you for tuning in to Shell Cottage Radio 94.7 COZY. We hope you'll join us in the future. We thoroughly do enjoy meeting new positive Potter people that don't be like babbling, bumbling bands of baboons.
Baboons.
If you don't want to miss out on the next episode, then be sure to subscribe to our podcast and leave us a review and follow over on social media at Fleur and Bill.
If you truly enjoy our content, consider supporting our griveting.
Support that griveting grow.
I wanted to make it quick. If you truly enjoy our content, consider supporting our growing wizarding family on Patreon or at Blue Premium. We're going to make it all the way to the end. You'll find all the links down below. Thank you so much to all our current patrons.
Oh. For about 40 minutes. 40 minutes. I've been sitting here holding this. You just can't fit it. I knew you got in a laughing. What do you want me to do?
We love you, patrons. We appreciate you, Chaluda and Beck. On our next reboot episode, we will discuss Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire, Chapter 13, Mad-Eye Moody. We'll have one of our previous guest hosts back on to share thoughts and theories, so make sure to tune back in next time. And until then, have a great rest of your week. Thanks for joining us in our Shell Cottage today. We know it's not much, but it's home.
Something perfunctory? What was I? What am I even talking about?
Hogwarts will host a number of pre-selected top students from Burbitong. Durbitong. Hogwarts will host. No. Sorry. Stop. I love it. Have fun editing. Knox.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.